Now, we've been hearing each week on Central Time a new installment of the WPR Reports podcast, Mapped Out, telling the story of how Republicans in the state drew legislative maps that helped to cement their majority. Spoiler alert, the state is getting new maps, and Republicans in the legislature released their proposed maps this week. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How big a deal are these legislative district maps to you? Is it a story you've been following, or have you just started to follow it? Maybe thanks to the Mapped Out podcast. How should we draw these lines? Do you worry that they give one party or the other, depending on who draws it, a partisan advantage? And what questions do you have about how all this works and how it's going this time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. He's also co-host of the WPR Reports podcast, Mapped Out, with Bridget Bowden. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob.
Well, you've been so immersed in 10 years ago, Sean. Now here's new news this week on these new maps. What are we seeing in these maps from Republican lawmakers?
A little bit of history repeating itself in that 10 years ago, they drew a very strongly Republican map. And what they've presented this year is a very strong Republican map. You know, there was some talk, at least among some Republicans, that given that this is going to be decided by a court, most likely in the very end, that you might see kind of a different map presented by the Republican legislature. But I would say basically you have a very strong Republican map here, you know, Republican gerrymander in the proposal that they've released, just as they had a decade ago.
We have another set of maps out earlier this month from the governor's People's Maps Commission. What kind of things did they come up with?
The People's Maps Commission, it was established by a Democratic governor, and so I think there was some thought that it might go the other direction, you know, that you might have Democratic maps. And I mean, those maps are definitely better for Democrats than the existing map or the one that Republicans have proposed. But you do see a bit of a Republican lean in the state legislative races for the draft maps that have been released so far by this People's Maps Commission. And that's not because they set out to draw it, you know, leaning toward Republicans. It's because Wisconsin's political geography, where Democrats live more, you know, more in the dense cities of the state and Republicans are more spread out, does give Republicans an advantage when it comes to map drawing. So they ended up with, I think one of their scenarios was like a 53% Republican lean in the state assembly map. Not as strongly Republican as we have by now, right now by a long shot, but still, you kind of see the situation we're in here in Wisconsin.
Now, an important distinction, this map drawn by lawmakers is part of the regular map making process. This People's Commission map, it's just sort of an outside thing, right? It's not part of the usual way these things are done.
At the end of the day, it's going to be a suggestion. I would expect that there will be a Democratic lawmaker when the legislature debates redistricting who will produce it as an amendment and say, hey, let's vote on this. Let's pass this on instead. Let's give this an up or down vote. But the legislature is under no obligation to do it. You can also see the People's Maps Commission maps becoming relevant if and when this goes to court, where they could present this to a court and say, look, we did this out in the open. Here's our homework. Here's how we arrived at this. You, court, should choose this plan over what passed the legislature.
Talking to Sean Johnson, WPR Capital Bureau Chief, about redistricting maps. Republican lawmakers released their initial maps just this week. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Sean, you mentioned this could end up in court, and one of the main ways that could happen, as has happened so many times in Wisconsin before, the governor could veto whatever the Republicans end up putting on his desk. Does that seem likely at this point?
He's sending pretty strong hints, the governor is, that he's going to veto this map if this is what passes the legislature. Essentially put out a statement yesterday or when the maps came out saying, hey, you're gonna have to do better than this if you want me to sign this. He referred to them as gerrymandering 2.0. And he's previously said that if it's gerrymandering 2.0, I'm going to veto it. So he's not leaving a lot of mystery there. The governor is not, when it comes to how he's going to receive these maps.
Spray on a caller at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in Shawano. Steve, hi.
Yeah, hi there. I hope you can hear me. I'm on a cell phone. I probably might lose you here in the woods. I have a real problem with the whole idea of gerrymandering, because I really think it's, you know, citizens uniting gerrymandering. I think, you know, the two greatest threats to our democracy. And the problem I have with gerrymandering is it's based on politics, not population. And I think the simple solution is that everybody knows what county they live in. I live in Shawano County. People live in O'Connell County. People live in Oneida County, Brown, et cetera. But ask them what assembly they, district they are. Ask them who's their senator, their state senator representative is. And their eyes will glaze over because they don't know. And if you look at the maps of the various assemblies and House of Representative district lines, they're just incredibly oddball, obtuse forms that just are just nonsensical. I mean, there's some districts where they'll have portions of like six or eight counties in one district. And then, but then the other representative district is totally diverse from that. So anyhow, what I think the simple solution is, you take the census numbers and you plug it all into a data in a computer, and then you let the computer pick the districts, and it's based on population, and you use county lines as a primary means of differentiation. And if you have to break up a county like Milwaukee or Dane or Brown or something like that because of population, then you can get down to the township. Or if you're in a municipality, you can use precincts. But you use existing, you know, district line or, you know, lines of demarcation. You know,
I gotcha. Steve, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. And Sean, as I've learned from the podcast Mapped Out, those lines of demarcation are supposed to be at least one of the criteria used already, right?
Yeah, it is one of those criteria that is extremely subjective, though, because you're going to have to break someone up. And so if you prioritize that criteria, it might come at the expense of something else. You know, Republicans actually are pointing to their map and saying we would actually break up fewer communities than, you know, than the People's Maps Commission map. And yet they have a much stronger Republican lean to their map. So there are trade-offs. There are trade-offs every time. And just prioritizing like county lines and local government lines above all else can have unintended consequences.
Thanks for that call. Sean, I know at various points mathematicians have gotten involved trying to make more neutral maps. I mean, is there such a thing as like an objective map that, you know, nobody has to put their finger on a scale at any point?
The People's Maps Commission is working with a nationally renowned mathematician, actually, to draw their maps. And part of the way that they drew it is they said, we want to have one of the factors we look at be partisan fairness. We want to have this map when all these other criteria are satisfied, you know, equal population, don't break up communities. We also want to favor a map that more resembles Wisconsin in statewide elections. That is, we are a 50-50 state. We should have a legislature that kind of bends that direction anyway. And you see what happens when you kind of plug all that in. You put one of the brightest math minds in the country in charge of the process, or at least give her a seat at the table. I'm not sure it's the kind of thing where you can just plug it into a computer and spit out the right answer that's going to please everyone.
And briefly, Sean, as we wrap up, what is next on the mapping timeline?
There's a public hearing in the legislature next week on the Republican map. It's on Thursday. I don't know yet when the legislature is going to pass their plan. I would presume a governor veto pretty soon after that. And then, you know, whenever the legislature and the governor are done with what they're going to do, the state Supreme Court gets the first shot at this.
Sean, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, co-host of the WPR Reports podcast, Mapped Out. More coming on Wisconsin redistricting, including some of the legal angle that Sean was just touching on. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the way maps are drawn, the way they were drawn last time? What would you want to see, if anything, work differently about all of this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about redistricting. Currently in process here in Wisconsin, Republican lawmakers released their proposed maps earlier this week. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Robert Yablon is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School. His research interests include political and election law, constitutional law, federal courts, and statutory interpretation. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here. Happy Friday.
Well, let's pick up where I left off with Sean there. A likely veto from Governor Evers on this Republican-drawn map. State courts, he said, would get the first crack at it. Why is that? I know in the past, a lot of our maps have ended up being decided by federal courts.
Well, I think the answer mainly is because they are indicating this time around the state Supreme Court that they are willing to do the work. And there is some precedent from the U.S. Supreme Court suggesting that when state actors, whether we're talking about state political actors or state courts, are in fact moving forward to try to draw district lines, then federal courts should typically take a back seat. And so right now there are pending lawsuits in the state Supreme Court and in federal court. The federal lawsuit is kind of on pause at the moment, and it's that state Supreme Court lawsuit that is taking center stage right now.
People have talked about courts ending up drawing new maps, which has happened in Wisconsin in the past. One possible outcome, though, Rob, check me if I'm wrong, the lawmakers could pass their map, the governor could veto it, it ends up in the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court could theoretically say, yeah, Republican map, we love it, sign off on it exactly as drawn. That's one possible outcome, right?
The map that the legislature is going to pass here in the coming weeks is presumably one that they'll present to the state Supreme Court, and one option for the state Supreme Court would be to just sign off on that map, yes.
What are some of the things that end up being argued about in a court, state or federal, when it comes to these maps, when they're disputed by the two different branches, two other branches of government?
Right. Well, you know, the obligation that a court has is to ensure that the maps comply with a number of federal and state legal principles. And so there's going to be a lot of debate between, you know, we're going to get a lot of maps submitted, maps from the legislature, the People's Maps Commission maps, and a number of other litigants will probably come in with their own maps. And there's going to be discussion about which of those maps do the best job complying with the requirements that the law sets out, and that also maybe do the best job on some discretionary criteria that you might hope to have in a map, such as partisan fairness. So by law, federal law, you have to have districts that are relatively equally populated. You have to comply with the Voting Rights Act, which is meant to ensure electoral opportunities for large and politically cohesive minority groups. Then as a matter of state law, you need to ensure that you're drawing districts that are contiguous and as compact as is practical, and you want to try to minimize the number of times that you're splitting political subdivision boundaries. So all of that gets thrown into the mix, and the court needs to try to figure out which submitted map fits the bill best, or whether it needs to do some of its own mapping.
A key point in all of that, though, is the argument over gerrymandering is the partisan slant that a map can give. There's not really any law against that, though, right, at the state or federal level. That even going up to the U.S. Supreme Court hasn't led to maps being thrown out, at least by federal courts, over partisan gerrymandering. Do I have that right?
That's right. Federal courts have said that this is just not something they're going to regulate. And so that means that state lawmakers have pretty free rein to seek to tilt the playing field in one partisan direction or another. There are some states in which the state Supreme Courts or lower state courts have said as a matter of state law that there are some limits on partisan gerrymandering. That isn't something that has really been litigated directly in Wisconsin to this point. So there is right now no law on the books that would constrain attempts at partisan gerrymandering here in Wisconsin.
Right. In my memory, I think Pennsylvania's, I think state Supreme Court had said, hey, you got to redraw the map. And I think a North Carolina map, if I'm not mistaken. So we have seen in state courts, as you say, back to the drawing board on maps over the issue of partisan gerrymandering.
Yes. I mean, those are the two big recent examples, Pennsylvania and North Carolina.
To Talking to Rob Yablon from the UW Law School about Wisconsin's map drawing system here for our political boundaries. Big story this week, Republicans in the legislature out with their initial map proposal. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers. Barb is with us in Madison. Barb, hi.
Oh, hi. I'm your first caller, I guess. Thanks. I have been trying to follow the gerrymandering movies and workshops and learning about what gerrymandering actually means to the average citizen of Wisconsin. And it's very complicated and a lot more, it affects a lot more of us than we realize. And I think we should fight tooth and nail for a nonpartisan district. It doesn't do us any good to have pro-Democratic or pro-Republican districts, because then our legislators don't have to listen to our constituent voices. And I've been very irritated with Ron Johnson at the federal level and Robin Voss at the state level, who doesn't care about what I care about, and he doesn't respond with any real interest in the way that I think or care or my opinion.
Barb, thanks a lot for the call. Barb gave us a lot to work with there. Rob, first of all, the idea, and I've heard this argument advanced, that a gerrymandered legislature in particular means that lawmakers don't have to represent part of their constituency. They don't have to look over their shoulders because they know that their party is very, very likely to win their district.
Yeah, there's no question that gerrymandering affects the way that the state is governed. It means that there are fewer districts that are competitive, more safe seats. That can mean that there is less electoral accountability. It can mean that the representatives who are voted into office are the ones who represent the extremes of one party or the other. So less room for centrism and negotiation. And, and that might mean that there's just less room for compromise in the legislature. And all of that can affect, the way that the citizens of the state experience politics. And I think you heard a little bit of that with the caller. I mean, gerrymandering certainly contributes to cynicism and disaffection and maybe even disengagement among some members of the electorate.
And Barb also mentioned having a neutral party or some kind of outside party apart from, the legislature and the governor draw these maps. There are states where it works like that, I think, including like Iowa and Colorado. What other models are there for drawing these lines?
Yeah, there are a growing number of states that have tried to take redistricting at least partly out of the hands of the legislature. The Iowa model is one that's often held out there as a model where you have nonpartisan staff members of the legislature who draw lines without any reference to political criteria, and they've had that in place for several decades in Iowa. There are newer models in states, you mentioned Colorado, but also California, Arizona. They have tried to create nonpartisan commissions. You can use bipartisan commissions as well. And again, if you have criteria that try to disassociate the map making from politics and you give those nonpartisan or bipartisan commissioners other criteria to focus on, then maybe that also can result in some fairer maps.
Thanks for the call, Barb, at 800-642-1234. Rob, one interesting thing that came out of the People's Maps Commission was some of their map recommendations still had a Republican lean, not as strong as the one drawn by Republican lawmakers. And people have been pointing to the idea that Democrats tend to cluster in larger cities, and that makes it harder to draw pro-Democratic maps in a natural way. Is that something you're seeing? Is that part of the story here?
I think that that is part of the story that you're seeing from the People's Maps Commission maps. The political geography of Wisconsin probably does lean modestly in the Republicans' direction because of the packing of Democratic voters in Madison and Milwaukee. That political geography certainly doesn't require anything like the gerrymandered map that we've had for the past decade, which takes that sort of modest Republican leaning and really exaggerates it to a much greater extent. And it is possible, and I think the People's Maps Commission has shown this, it's possible to get much closer to proportional representation while still having districts that are quite compact and do a pretty good job respecting political subdivision boundary lines.
Let's bring on another caller now. Chris is with us in Appleton. Chris, hi.
Hi, thank you. My question is, when was the last time Wisconsin had a more proportional legislature, 50-50 Republican-Democrat?
Thanks for the call, Chris. And I know after 2010, before the new maps were drawn, the Senate was really close because briefly a couple Senate recalls were enough to flip it from Republican to Democratic control. So that's we've had close divides in the legislature in years past, Rob.
That's right. I mean, in the 1980s, the 1990s, and the 2000s, all of those maps were drawn by courts, and they were relatively neutral maps. They were maps in which if it was a good year for Democrats, the Democrats had a real chance of controlling the legislature, and vice versa for Republicans. So it was that the map that was adopted in 2011 replaced what had been a more neutral court-drawn map.
Thanks a lot for that call. Rob, one big question. People point toward a conservative majority on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. And Democrats might worry that that means they're more likely to go along with a Republican map. Is it that simple?
I don't think it is that simple. You know, I think that there are, we do think of our Supreme Court as one that is a 4-3 conservative majority, but those four justices are not uniform in their views. Although they often side with the Republicans in the legislature on important issues, they don't always. And so, you know, they will do the legal analysis here, and it is possible that they may find that they are going the legislature's way, but they're going to feel some pressure, I think, from both the law and the citizens of this state, many of whom I think want a more neutral map, to do something maybe a little bit different from what the legislature is asking for.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Good to be with you.
Rob Yablon is an associate professor in the UW Law School. We talked to him about some of the legal questions behind Wisconsin's redistricting process after we saw maps released this week by Republican lawmakers.